Blog Talk Radio.
It's the Recruiting Animal, and it's August 24th, 2016. And you know what? I've got some good news for you today. Good news, everybody. We all know that recruiters have to lie. Recruiters lie. You can admit it. You know why? Because you call a company to speak to a candidate, and the reception, she'll ask you, why are you calling, sir? Why are you calling, ma'am? Well, you can't just say, hey, I want to schedule an interview for Bill with another company. No, you have to lie, right? And now, scientists agree that you're doing the right thing. They say you can't succeed in modern society without the ability to tell good lies. They say, and I'm reading from an article, that if you're successful socially, you probably know how to lie well. And if you're a good liar, listen to this, it means you're smart. Dr. Kang, K-A-N-G, isn't that the alien on The Simpsons? Dr. Kang Lee, he says that children who are good liars are definitely more likely to have future social success. It's the dopes, it's the stupid people who are the bad liars. I'm sorry to be so blunt, but this is what he says. He says kids who are juvenile delinquents, they tend to be poor liars, right? If your child is lying convincingly, he says, by the age of two, you've probably got an exceptionally smart kid, because only 30% of children at that age can pull off a good lie. And here's something interesting. He said the children under 8 years old, when they lie, they're very sincere. Their emotions are very compelling, but it's their choice of words they give them away. So, you know, they're not as cunning as they should be. And that's a lesson for us recruiters, too. The words you choose make a difference. And finally, a tip for the managers. These researchers, they told the kids stories about lying to see how they affected their honesty. And, you know, there's these stories that try to scare the children, like the boy who cried wolf. They didn't have any effect. The story that had an effect was George Washington and the cherry tree, because it highlights the benefits of honesty. I don't know if that's too American for my audience. I don't think so. But anyway, the point is that fear doesn't work. Positivity does. A positive vision. And you won't find a show about recruiting that's more positive than Jerry. Jerry! What show is this?
The Recruiting Animal Show!
Oh, man.
Jerry!
I about blacked out, man. I was so ready for it. I about blacked out.
That was, oh, my God. Fantastic. It was a little ragged. You had a different sound than usual. Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. Welcome back. Look, I got an announcement to make, okay? Last week, I criticized one of our regular listeners for being too hard on a member of the Animal Crew on Twitter, okay? And I'm kind of uncomfortable about that, because an important part of the animal way, I've got my own philosophy, is the freedom to criticize this show freely. You can say whatever you want, okay? And I like it that way.
I see where you're going. I see where you're going here.
Yeah, so if you call into this show, I want to tell everybody, if you call into this show to speak, you have to realize that there's some outspoken people listening to the show. They're not all nice people, right? And they're, you know, with how they will tell you in no uncertain terms that they don't like what you said and they don't like how you said it. And you might not be ready to tolerate that. It's going to sting. But I got news for you. Grow up. It's not going to really hurt you. You're not going to melt, okay? And you know what? No one's going to hear it anyway. No one's going to see what they write.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, okay. And I'm ready to move on. But before I get to the guest, I want to tell you that today's show is brought to you by PC Recruiter, the recruiting software for everybody. Okay? And now our guest is a guy named Brian Fink. Matt Charney set him up with us on the show today.
Matty
and,
Matt.
It's time for us to sing first, and we're going to sing Rap Fink. Okay. You know that song, Brian?
I have played my entire... Yes, sir. Hello.
What?
Hello, hello.
So we're just going to sing the chorus. Your entire life.
What? I've heard it my entire life. I was like, why don't we sing something else? Why don't we sing, like, you know,
what?
We Are the Children or The Children of the Future or something about the Olympics. Why don't we sing a better song?
I don't know those
songs.
I don't know those songs. Why didn't you prepare me?
I am so sorry. I didn't know I was supposed to put together like a playlist for this. I
yeah, okay. Well,
Matt
hold on.
Charney did not
was that you
tell me
singing?
That I had to do
was that you?
It was.
Yeah.
It was. I'm
yeah,
like
was
a
that
vixen.
You? Are you listening to me? Was that you singing? Because if you can sing a song on your own, that's okay. I'll just try to back you up.
Yeah, that was me singing. You know, just trying
yeah,
to.
Yeah, give it to us. Just give us a few lines. Give us a few lines and we'll move on, okay? Please, I'm begging
right.
you.
Oh, yeah, give me a hot mess.
You know, I don't know. Can we do a recruiter song? Can we do Hello by Lionel Richie? Hello? Is it me you're looking for? I can see it in your eyes. I can see it in your smile. Hello? Should we do that? Should maybe we
you know what? You're talking through it. Okay, let's time. You know what? I got to ask. Is Matt Charney on a bad phone screwing up the line? Somebody is. Somebody is. Okay, and I don't like
not
it.
Not me, dude.
No, dude. Nope. Mm-mm. No way, Jose. I've got
does anybody
want to
say hi? Maureen, are you here?
I'm always here.
That's not true. You and Jerry say I'm always here. You depend on me. I'm the show. Well, you guys
we
are not the show.
Here.
I never know
Maureen.
You're going to be here, okay?
I'm always here. Listening.
Yeah, okay. Anybody else
want
to say
mute.
Hi? We used to do a...
I'm on mute. I'm zipper mouth.
Yeah. Yeah, we used to do a hello everybody at the beginning of the show. Anybody else want to say hi before we start? Okay. Yeah, somebody on a bad phone. Okay, the guest today is the Brian Fink. On Twitter, he's at the Brian Fink. You sang. I'm very impressed. Do you have an elevator? I'll say your elevator speech just to make things move faster. I excel at direct recruiting, direct sourcing. Hey, Matt Charney, get off the phone. I can hear you, you jerk. What area code is he?
214.
Is he 214? He's not here.
No,
no
he's
somebody
not.
Was.
He's not.
I think like 386 was doing that. No.
Can I ask a technical question?
No, it's second 03. Okay, just let me clear up the lines. Okay, Jerry, go ahead.
One of my partner companies that I work with, they also administer my email for that endeavor. Well, I have to sign on to Outlook. They now tell me, oh, don't use Google. Don't use Chrome. You need to use Firefox. Should I accept that? Or should I say, are you kidding me? I can't even put an attachment with my email now, signing on through Chrome.
You know
should
what?
I accept
ask
this,
Aaron
people?
Lynch. Ask Aaron Lynch. Ask Aaron
is
Lynch.
Is Matt Charney on the line? Matt Charney is one of the smartest guys I know.
He's not on the line, okay?
What?
Nobody else is making that noise.
Why am I even here?
I don't know, okay?
God.
Let me get on with the show, okay?
Go ahead.
This is the Brian Fink's intro. I'm reading it from LinkedIn. He says, I excel at direct recruiting, direct sourcing, and aligning opportunities to professionals, okay? Working with client companies. He didn't take English literature at school, everybody, or composition. And in fact, here's something else he says. I'm engaging with outstanding professionals that want to push the envelope and disrupt the status quo. Brian Fink, how do you test if someone wants to push and shove and disrupt?
Very simply put, you know, you can ask them what it is that they've done, or you can tell them no and tell them they haven't done what it is that they purport to do. I find that telling somebody no is a really effective way to get them to tell you everything that there is to know, right? You opened up the conversation about recruiters being liars. What about candidates, right? For just a quick second here, not trying to shoot the candidate. I think the candidate is king. But how many candidates have we had that just kind of come into a conversation, they try to blow through it about project management, about the software they've developed, and they can't answer the simple question as to why they developed it or where they got the idea. They're simply trying to pirate somebody else's idea, and that's really great, okay? There's some really dynamic pirates that are out there. But I think that there is a lot of value in telling somebody, you know, no, you didn't do that. I think somebody else did that there. And letting them get on their heels, kind of letting them get on their defenses. At the same time, it's about reaching out to people who are going the extra mile and are publicly showing other people what it is that they're doing or how they're kind of changing.
Let me stop you. I don't mind that you didn't answer my question, okay? Let's address what you are saying. So, first of all, you're saying you have a lot of liars that you recruit, okay? And that your method of and that you know how to you've got the inside information. So, if someone says I did this, you tell them straight out, no, you didn't. Why would you want to even continue the conversation with a candidate you have exposed as a liar? Can you tell me that?
You know, that's a great question, right? You know, The reason that I'm trying to dig into that is I want to see if this person is willing to fight for their own ideas. If they're not willing to fight for their own ideas, how can I be assured that they're going to care deeply about my ideas and the ideas of those people that surround them? If they're going to be part of a team and they're going to drive that team to excellence, then by pushing them and saying, no, you didn't do this, and having them kind of go through the machinations of what they did, how they contributed.
Okay,
man,
let me just understand.
Question.
Hold on. So I'm mistaken. You don't know that they're lying. Someone just makes a claim, and you just reflexively say, you didn't do that. You're lying, and they have to prove it, right? And then later on you decide if they were telling you the truth or not. It's just a technique. I could say, hey, Jerry, you're lying, and he's got to be – Everything he says, I could say, you're lying, Jerry, I know it. And you have to – he's got to prove himself to me. Is that what you're saying?
You know,
you're asking
which
them –
Which, as we know from your monologue or intro, lying means I'm winning.
I guess.
All right, so – oh, Jerry, all right. So with that piece of it, first off, I'm not saying, hey, you're a liar. I think if we go back and listen to the tape, I'm saying, no, I don't think you did that. Can you explain to me how you did that, what your role was in that? No, I was the leader. I was the guy who did this. Then tell me how you did it, because simply claiming that you went to the moon doesn't make you Neil fucking Armstrong.
Okay, it sounds – Jerry, Maureen, anybody, does it sound like he's accusing these guys of lying? Sounds like it to me. Innocent people. He says, you're a liar, and then he's just trying to provoke them to prove that they did what they did. Anybody else got a comment there? That's his technique.
Let him explain himself a little more. But as
no,
I can
I
ask, can
I've
you speak
enough.
Up a little?
No, I've had
stop.
Enough.
Can
okay.
you speak up
enough.
A little more? I'm straining to hear. I asked just
what?
Are you on a speakerphone? Is he on a speakerphone?
Nope.
He's on.
Nope.
We got
bad audio going on, Animal.
It's true. You want to call in on another phone? Do you have a better phone, Brian?
You know what, guys? Let's keep this rocking and rolling. I don't have a better
yeah.
phone. This is the best phone.
How about putting your mouth up to the receiver?
Are you on a speakerphone, Brian?
I'm still not on speakerphone.
There,
Marie,
that's
how many
better.
Times you answered that.
Okay, what did you do?
Much
what did
better.
You do differently, just so the audience knows what not to do?
I held the microphone straight up to my mouth.
Wow.
Good work.
Okay.
Good work. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So things
now,
that
you know
we have,
what?
Things that we have learned is it helps when you bring things closer to your mouth.
Okay.
Please
just
push
in
the
envelope. I want to give you some free consulting on LinkedIn. Your summary, it says, I specializing in finding outstanding recruiting, sales, marketing, and technical professionals. I specializing. You missed a word there, okay? That's very unprofessional. Go correct it. And then you've got another line. It's a million miles long. I work, and it's full of hackneyed words. I work with a team of experienced, certified recruiters who effectively and efficiently, that's a moronic phrase, bring the right candidates front and center for ongoing talent acquisition projects with Fortune 500, Deloitte Technology, Fast 500, privately held Inc. 500, and emerging companies. At least
hey bro,
take out the
you,
efficiently
you
and effectively.
Did you pull the cash file from like 2005 on LinkedIn? Because like,
no, that's what
I'm sitting
your
here
LinkedIn
and I'm like,
profile says today. Okay, don't try to get out of it. Here's the other thing you say.
I'm
you
not,
hire
I'm
high achievers
for a change. This is. this is fantastic. Like, you come on and you're like, oh, we're going to have a good passive conversation, and I'm going to tell you a few things, and you're going to answer a few questions. And I'm
Brian,
like, I'm sitting here and I'm like,
Brian, stop. Don't get offended. This is what this show is all about.
Maureen, I'm not offended,
record,
but he won't
okay.
answer my 12, question. 12:15,
guest loses his
Oh, my God.
Cool.
Where are the tissues? I need to cry.
We got him, animal. Early, even. Early. Nice work. You're getting good.
Go for it. Go for it.
Brian.
Let Matt get some questions. You know what? I bet you there's people on Twitter saying there's no content, and they're right.
This is
going to
be a great show. This is going to be a great show, Brian.
Wow.
And we're 15 minutes in already. Come on. Let's get going. Okay,
yeah,
Brian. Brian, you say you hire high achievers who mesh with the culture and direction of the company. How do you determine a culture match?
Good question. So I kind of asked them about both their internal and external activities, right? Like, what is it that they're aspiring to do? When you're talking to a candidate, whether you're agency recruiter, whether you're internal recruiter, you don't need to be asking them about this job. You need to be talking to them about the next job and whether or not this job is going to be the vehicle that gets them to where they want to go next. So when I'm diving into it, I'm asking things like, hey, if you could put your feet on the floor tomorrow and or jump out of bed, put your feet on the floor tomorrow and you can do whatever you want to do and you're not going to fail, what is it that you're going to do? What is it you're passionate about doing, right? If you're passionate about going and flipping fries at McDonald's, this is probably not the right place for you, right? Like, that's not the level of aspiration that I'm looking for. But if you're coming to me and you're saying, look, I want to go somewhere, I want to be there for 2 to 3 years, and you're starting to answer that way, again, not the right answer. But if you're like, hey, I want to create awesome software, I want to be able to drive, I was talking to a guy yesterday, he's like, if I could do anything, I'd be building an app that would teach people how to translate languages. How would you do that? By asking them how they would do that, I'm finding out what their core concerns are, what their competencies are, how they would code it, how they would build it. That's kind of how I'm tapping into whether or not we're going to be the vehicle that takes them where they want to go, if we're going to be that kind of cultural match.
Your question is, what would you like to do if you were free to do anything? Is that what the question is, that you determine their culture
what
match
would
with?
You,
how?
What would you do tomorrow morning, you wake up, you can do anything in the world, and you won't fail. What are you going to do?
Okay.
That failure piece
okay.
is really important, right?
Okay. Now you told
he's
me
he's digging
got...
deep. He's digging
yeah,
deep.
Yeah, right.
Now.
Okay. Thank you, Maureen. Thank you.
Thanks,
yeah,
Maureen.
Thank
I appreciate
Maureen.
That.
Thank you,
I
Maureen.
That.
He's got a question. He's got something. He's got an issue that he wanted to discuss. Before I forget, you've got the floor,
whoa,
Brian.
Whoa. You're changing the subject because Maureen reached with me, and that's not for good television.
No, because
so
you're finished. You're not telling me anything interesting anymore, okay? I got
okay,
my
Dad.
Answer.
Okay, Dad.
Yeah, okay.
I'm
your dad. I am going to guide you. If you want to be good on the show, you should listen to me, okay? Now,
are you going
to
spank me later?
Let's talk.
You're too far away.
You can
you're
only
too far
hope.
Away. You
I
know
can
what?
Only hope.
Now,
all right.
Now we're getting
okay.
to it.
Now, he's got a topic he wants to talk about. But don't make me beg you to talk, okay? I'm giving you the floor.
Make
no, that's
a
great
thank
question.
You.
So I want to come back to a conversation that Matt Charney and I were having, kind of in a Q&A session at the Talent Management Association social media conference. Want to go back to it is that the question keeps being raised is now that LinkedIn has been purchased by Microsoft, how
not
is that
yet.
Going to change? Right, not yet. Hasn't been approved.
Maureen,
absolutely.
You know what, Maureen? Didn't you learn last week? Let the guy talk, okay?
Hey, dude, Mark, be nice to the young lady.
Dang,
say please. Dude, come on, man. Like, if you want to have fun with me, that's fine. But if you, like, want to toss her around like a China doll, that's you do it on somebody else's time, not mine, okay?
Okay, there you go. You got to defend him, Maureen. You don't have to come to me this week. This guy's going to defend you, okay? Go ahead.
I think Maureen can probably stand up for herself. And I'm like, dude, come on, lay off of her. So she's right. It hasn't been – it has yet to be approved. The question that came up was, hey, you know, if it does go through, how's that going to change search results for us, you know, putting together Google CSEs and going through Bing and using DuckDuckGo? Wouldn't Microsoft want to limit the way that we can invasively search into LinkedIn? And I want to go back because I kind of flushed the name. There's a guy named Keith Raboy, R-A-B-O-I-S. And so Keith Raboy is part of the PayPal Mafia. He is the person who went to Reid Hoffman and said, you cannot have a private social network. You have to create multiple links to make sure that you're driving people towards your platform. And the two of them went back and forth talking about how they wanted about, no, I just want this to be groups. I want it to be closed. I don't want it to be indexed like Yahoo. And Keith Raboy went in and said, look, you've got to make these changes. You're not gaining users. Let's try it. But when he said, let's try it, it was a very sneaky, let's try it, because once you did this, it was going to be very difficult to put the wall back around. And so with that, they not only increased their manifold for search results through organic, they also paid to have their search results indexed more frequently by the major search engines. That may in fact change, and that's long since kind of been a point
of contention.
Are you
coming to a point?
No, I was wondering if you could sharpen my pencil for me, Daddy. This is the, I mean,
hey,
like, this is
come on.
Excellent.
I mean, we're recruiters. Is there a takeaway for a recruiter? Are you telling a story? What's the point?
Yeah, I'm telling a story.
This is interesting.
I'm like, dude, get a glass of cognac and chill out, right? So,
yeah, I bet you
so
Gary's
reality,
half asleep already.
What?
I'm here.
Hold on.
I guess Gary hasn't made a placement in a week, so like, I'm not really worried about him being asleep.
I doubt that, but go on.
Okay, all right. That's right. That wasn't fair. Like, I'm sizing these things up as teams,
that's
all right.
Get
so,
to the point. What's the point of this story?
Jealousy manifests itself in many ways. I accept it all.
It does.
Go
I like
ahead, Brian, all please. Right. Please, Brian, please.
So the point I'm making is that there's a lot of people that are jumping out of windows that are concerned about how this merger is going to change talent acquisition. The reality of it is it isn't, because they've based it into their source code. It goes
like
deep
Reid
into their
Hoffman,
data science.
Is it going to close?
Yeah, it's not going to do. It can't close it off. In fact, 2 years ago, they opened it up even further with their Photon project, which is for open source data analysis from LinkedIn, which is interesting.
Okay,
now they're going after
Mitch
Sue and all
let
the people
me ask
doing
you a question
that.
To get you back on track. There was a program that lots of people liked, a fairly new one called Context Scout, and they went out of business this week because LinkedIn cut them off. Now, you're saying LinkedIn is wide open and it's never going to change. The openness is its strategic direction. That's not true, is it?
No, it is absolutely true, because if it wasn't true, then they wouldn't be pushing the people's content out to, like, they wouldn't have bought Pulse
why
if they didn't want to drive that
Scout,
strategic.
Why did Context Scout close? Do you know?
They're probably one of the 100.
Well, who builds their house
on
somebody else's property? The whole idea is stupid.
Well, I mean, look,
let's
I would go and
on.
I'd point to it and I'd say SalesLoft did the same thing, and they got a letter from LinkedIn 2 years ago and they completely pivoted the company.
Yeah. Dell hack.
You know,
okay, let's move on. 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 Social media recruiting delivers hard-to-find candidates. I read that this morning on a white paper. It says most companies just experiment with social media recruiting, but a consistent social media optimization strategy will get you a dramatic increase in unique candidates who are hard to find outside of social media. I just don't think that's true. Do you, Brian? I don't think that's true. You said you're a headhunter. Do you think you can find people on social media? Good. Okay.
I think you can.
Fine.
Dude, I think you can find people on social media, but here's the reality of it, is that I think you're only going to find a fragment. I don't think that you're going to have a real conversation about who they are or what they're doing. I mean, there's a data scientist that has 6 years of experience documented on LinkedIn. He hasn't worked at Groupon in 4 years, right? His
right.
GitHub, he has no activation on his GitHub. He's working on something for Facebook. The only reason I know that is because I called a friend of his. He used to work with a Groupon and said, hey, where the hell is this guy? And he was like, oh, he's been at Facebook for 4 years. He's working on something with their data centers. So I think that only the original social networking, like, you know, what young recruiters don't like to do, get on the phone. I think that's what yields results. I mean, look, I still take a field cat kind of mentality that it's great. I can blast out 100 emails or in-mall somebody. At the end of the day, like, come on, man, I'm going to get on the phone. We're going to have a conversation about how you're going to move forward or how you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not the guy, so in 15 or 20 minutes, hopefully I've built enough trust to show you that I know what's going on in your industry. Who do you know? Then I've owned the right to ask who do you know. Social media doesn't provide that.
Let's talk about referrals, but let me do an ad first, okay? Now, I just want to say
God, I'll be back in
that
a minute.
There is Yeah, okay. There is so much divisiveness in the world. There's so much. All you got to do is read Facebook to see how much hate there is. It's every morning in my news feed. And even, listen to this, when there's not outright hatred, there's a lot of microaggression. You know what? It's the same thing in the world of recruiting software. There's a lot of software that says it's for everybody, but then they've got these dog whistles that tell executive recruiters or staffing agencies or corporate recruiters, hey, we like you best, right? So you know what I do when I want a little peace of mind? I go and think about my sponsor, PC Recruiter. PC Recruiter. And you know why? Because PC Recruiter loves everybody. PC Recruiter loves every kind of recruiter. They really, really do. And you know what that means? PC Recruiter loves you, just like the Rolling Stones. And if you want to check them out, go to PCRecruiter.com. PCRecruiter.com. You can tell them Animal sent you. Okay? Thank you. Okay, let's go back to
Before we start, can I say something? You know why we have all this anger and all this hatred and all this
malice?
You know why we have this all this? Because of social media.
Thank you,
Maureen. Maureen, I just direct messaged you on Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
That was my speech for the day, and now I'll put myself on mute.
Okay,
good. I want you to come back to it because, like, you know, social media is no different today than putting a red letter on somebody was in the 1600s and shaming them, right? Like,
exactly.
It's the public square. It's the shame event, right? So I'm not going to disagree with you. I mean, it has that hate embedded into it.
No. Listen to me, Brian. Please. You were actually telling me something worthwhile. You called a guy up, and you said, look, I can't find this person. Can you tell me where he is? And he told you. Why did he tell you? Supposedly, these programmers don't like sharing information with people like you.
Yeah, great question. So I actually called him up out of the
blue. You know what? Whatever I say, you say great question. How about answering it?
Looking for a parallel candidate, somebody who's very similar to it, I call him up, have a conversation with him. I talk to him about the opportunity. I said, hey, listen, there was a guy that worked at Groupon, and I'm sure he worked with you because he was in San Francisco. Oh, who is he? Do you know him? I was like, no, man, I've tried to get in touch with him before. He's X guy. And he's like, oh, he's been at Facebook for 4 years. And actually, what's really fucked up is he gave me that guy's Gmail address, right? He was like, oh, do you want me to do an email intro? I was like, yeah, man, if you want to do that, that's fine. Here's my email address. Hey, what's his? So I make sure it's not in my spam filter. That's right. I lied. I'm a recruiter. I lied. I wanted to make sure that his Gmail, the most widely accepted email on the planet, did not end up in my spam filter. I lied.
Okay, I got a question for you. So when you called up this other person, you pretended that you were interested in him. Is that right? Yes or no?
No, I was interested in him. But once he said no, I said, hey, you work for this other guy. What can we do? I was totally interested in him. But frankly, he's completely, completely Thunderdome out of the range of where comp needs to be for this role.
Okay, let me ask you another question because this is a good example. So if this guy would have raised his hand, the person you talked to, and he said, look, I am interested, would you still have asked for a referral?
Yeah.
To the other guy?
I would have said,
why?
Yeah, totally would have asked.
So what would he say? You want me to help you find competition for myself?
Well, I opened up the conversation with saying, look, I need to augment my data science team with 4 people. Do you have a few minutes to kind of talk about it? Right?
Is that what your cold call sounds like? I want to augment my database?
Yeah. I said, I want to augment my data science team. I was wondering if you'd got a quick second to connect. And for what it's worth, I know I just talked about calling. I found this guy's message. He's a developer. I found his phone number using Whois. I shot him a quick text. He asked me, how did you find my number? And I told him his domain registry. And he might want to make that private. And he was like, I got a few minutes to talk. We hopped on the phone. We started chatting about it. And I said, listen, I'm looking to hire and augment our team with about 4 more data scientists. Do you know of anybody else that, like, you would want to build a team with? Like, I gave power to the candidate. I said to him, I was like, who would you want to work with? What is it that you want to grow? Who do you want to grow it with? I'm going to go back to my statement. The candidate is king. I'm trying to satiate how to get them from where they are today to where they want to go tomorrow, and I'm trying to figure out who it is that they want to do it with. Maybe they don't want to do it with anybody who's here. Maybe they want to bring other people. Maybe I need to recruit, like, their five engineering buddies to come to Cabbage to make something awesome happen. And if I've got to do that, I've got to do that, if it makes sense.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. You know, the first part was good. The second part, you're losing me. Okay, do you recruit on Facebook?
Yes.
Uh-huh, like how? How do you recruit on Facebook?
I go in, I type in the groups just using semantic speech.
Like what?
So
give us a grand. You gotta on this show get granular, okay? That's one of the themes.
Group on data scientist San Francisco. Pull that up. I start or I put in the name of a data science group that's in San Francisco. That's how I dial through it, right? I find that person. I go out and I see if they've got a domain that's registered in their name, and then I backdoor that to either call them because the domain registry number that's there, or the email address that comes with it, right? And those things really can't be scraped. So that's really how I'm driving that.
Yeah, okay,
so I'm using
Facebook
and something
else. They don't say, most people don't put their titles in, data scientist. How do you bring up the right people? Or
really?
Do they?
I'm like, I wish I'm going to.
Let's just say,
that's interesting.
All the data scientists put their title.
There are 5,561 data scientists that are talking right now, jobs that are posted there, right? I can go to the comments section. I can see who's commented on those jobs. I've got data scientists. I've got 82,919 people talking about that subject. I can jump into that piece, or I can look for it by hashtag. I can go into data scientists and statisticians. That's 3,000-plus people. I can go into data scientists public group. That's 2,000 people. I can go into happy data scientists, become a data scientist. I can go into all the course schools where people are taking data science. I can type in the top 25 CS schools in the country that are piping that out, right? And I can look for people in terms of that major. I could also put in astrophysicists.
That's all on Facebook?
Yeah, that's on the Facebook. That's on the Facebook.
I didn't know. Did everybody else know? Oh, okay. Hey, you're working at that.
Yes, Animal, we all knew that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I never heard you talk about it that way, Jerry, okay?
Well, why don't I just send you a list of my customer names while I'm at it? You know what I mean? Contact person.
You know what? Jerry,
thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Now we're talking about Jerry. Jerry
no,
says,
we're not talking
never,
about me.
You never hire. The first person you send in never gets hired. He's just a trial balloon.
Hold on a second. I don't send them in there as a trial balloon. I'm hoping like hell they get hired. The simple reality is they usually don't. So stop putting words in my mouth.
I'll quote you.
It's
a quote. It's a quote. Any recruiter has got to know that rarely is the first person you introduce the one who was hired. That's exactly what Jerry said.
That is a quote. Your then addition, they're just a trial balloon, makes me seem trite in my professional approach with these people. Nobody's a trial balloon, dude. Nobody.
You know what? Steve Finkel said send in a trial balloon, okay? So that's what I thought you were referring to.
Yeah.
Now, Brian.
He's still kicking
Brian.
Ass, isn't he?
Yeah, dude, what's up?
Brian, do you agree with Jerry that the first person rarely gets hired?
Be careful here.
You know what? I'm gonna have to go 50-50 on that because I've had CFO candidates who've been the first candidate and they get hired on the first, we don't want to see anybody else. I've had that happen. Alternatively, I've had that candidate get, kind of pushed off because they're like, oh, I want to see one more. I need another two comparison candidates. And if that candidate's a hot candidate, they're off the market in that time. So I think there are a lot of reasons why Jerry's
great. What do you do with a stupid hiring manager like that? What do you do with that moron? Tell me.
You bang him upside the head.
I usually take him out for Thai food and see how hot I can make it.
No, seriously, I want
to
know. Look, you know,
no,
Brian,
I like to see
it's not just
panic,
that, it's
kind of
not
like you're
just
doing
us.
Right now, so.
It's not just me, you, and Jerry and Michael Cox here. There's a whole
even
lot of people listening.
Even though it seems like it.
Yeah, it seems like there's actually people listening. Can't you give them some benefit to go away with? What do you do when you get a stupid hiring manager? You find a good CFO. I want to see a few more. Why? This guy's good. You're going to lose him, you jerk. What do you say?
Well, I think you can do all those antics that you want to scream about, but I also think that it's important as a strategic liaison not to call them stupid. Like I said, take them out for dinner, show them two other candidates, and really find out what it is that that person was missing. Was it a cultural – was it something cultural? Like, they
Brian,
had socks.
Brian,
they had Gap. What is
Brian,
it they were missing?
Brian, you
yeah,
just
I
told
know.
Us
this
if you waste
like
time going
–
if you waste your time
blah,
looking
blah,
for two
blah,
other
blah.
People,
I'm an animal. I like
you're
going to
lose the first
voice.
Guy.
This is fantastic. Dude,
you know, you're gonna lose the first guy.
So big deal. You lose the first guy. You lose the first guy. Big deal. You lose the first guy.
Hey, Animal,
deal.
Can I just add something?
A big deal.
Animal.
It's
a lot
big
of this has
manager.
To Animal.
It's time for them to get their act together
yeah.
and get straight. Seriously.
A lot of this has to do with, is this the first time you're working with this manager? Is it the 10th time? Have you made placements with this guy, or is it the first time this lady has ever used you? Where are you with this relationship? And you're always looking for a what do you do every single time. And if you don't have the wherewithal to gauge the situation, I might tell one of my customers, hey, I know you want to see a few more people. Should I go ahead and tell them they probably don't have the chance, but they're just trying to sell the first guy? You have to judge the situation, dude. That's where you sorely miss in your day-to-day work.
Here's the point. Here's the point. If you got a good person, they don't grow on trees. Like Brian said, okay, sure, I'll let the first one go. I can find two others just like chocolate bars.
That is so, look, dude. Look. Obviously, the person's missing something.
So let's right? let's dial this. I agree with you. So, Jerry, let's take this back for a second. If you've got one candidate and the hiring manager, if you're an internal recruiter, this is different. But if you're an external recruiter, you're an agency recruiter, and you have one candidate that you're using for a search that's contingency, and the candidate base is not wired to that one company, then if you believe that candidate's so good, then why wouldn't you go out there and create another market for that person? That's something that Animal misses. All right, that we would go out and create an opportunity for that person, that we would call somebody else and say, oh, you're looking for a CFO. I have somebody who has the SOX compliance, the IPO guidance that you have, the GAAP compliance. Why wouldn't we go and try to serve that candidate in that capacity? Yeah, I understand. Hiring manager is the one who pays the bills, whether you're internal or external. If the hiring manager loses that candidate and he's like, oh, my God, I really want somebody like Jerry or like Cindy or like Susan, then you've now got a rubric that you can go against, but you can also say, look, man, you waited 2 weeks to pull the trigger on this. We got to move faster here, or you're going to lose that. I can drive this all you want, but if you can't act, you're going to go home empty-handed.
Thank you. Okay. Okay.
Who turned on the wind tunnel?
I don't hear anything like that, any wind
Maureen?
Tunnel.
I do hear a wind tunnel. Totally hear a wind tunnel. I'm with Jerry.
What do you mean? Yeah. What do you mean, wind tunnel? I'm on a different line than you guys.
Here's what it sounds like.
Yeah,
but a little quieter to the discerning.
Okay. I agree with him.
Let me turn off my. I got my air conditioner on. Maybe that's it. Okay.
I'll turn it off. Hold on a second.
That's
Animal's
air conditioner. That poor bastard. You need a bigger room. God.
There. I
Send
turned it
help.
Off. Did it go away?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's better.
Is it?
I picture Animal just sitting there huddled under a little window air conditioner. This is bad. I'm sorry. I got to go.
Okay. So let me see. Persuasion. Do you try to sell a candidate? If you call someone up and you're talking to them about a move, like let's say that guy you were calling and you got the referral from, let's say he wasn't overpriced. He was right on. He says, Brian, you know, I don't think I want to make a move right now. Do you try to persuade the person to make a move?
Absolutely.
How? Can you give us a real-life example, like just like you did before? I liked that example. If you think I'm too negative, no, that's exactly what I like when you tell me a real-life example just like that.
All right, so let me go to a COO candidate that I placed 2 years ago because I had him where he was like, Brian, I'm not interested in making – I like the money. I like the company, but I'm not interested in making the commute. And I was like, oh, okay, so let me get this straight. You don't want to drive from 36 miles. You don't want to drive down to the Atlanta airport for it. But we both agree that this is more money than you've ever made, and this is an opportunity in 3 years when the CEO retires that he wants the COO to move into the CEO seat. Is that right? Is that fair? And he was like, yeah, that's fair. And I was like, okay, well, listen, I did the takeaway. As I said, I don't know that this is going to work. If you're not willing to put, you know, if you're not willing to increase your compensation by 33% because you're afraid to drive 30 miles, I don't think this is going to work. And maybe you're not the person that I thought you were for this opportunity. And I kind of took it away in that perspective. I hung up, and about 20 minutes later, he called me back and he said, "You're exactly right. This is going to give me the compensation I want. It's going to give me the freedom with my family. I'm going to have to do a 30-minute commute, and I'm going to be a CEO. And that's what I want to be in the next 10 years, and you're telling me we can get there in 3. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the guy's
okay,
CEO
so
designate today, right?
So that was, hold on, just because Jerry was dissing him a few minutes ago, that's classic Finkel, okay? He would call that an old-school sales technique. Do you think that your takeaway was what actually influenced the person, or if you just would have said, okay, but, you know, think it over. I think there's something
but
there to consider.
I want to add, though, the takeaway was actually a Tommy Hopkins close, okay? Not
okay,
a
well, whatever. Whatever, okay? It's a standard close. Now,
It's a standard close. The second goal was Steve Finkel.
Hold on. So
recruiting
here's,
God.
Here's another example. There was a candidate that I recruited. There was a developer that I recruited at a career builder a few weeks ago to join our team here at Cabbage. Great guy, awesome GitHub, amazing, right? His biggest hesitation was not the compensation. It was not the commute. It was the fact that he wasn't sure that he was going to have enough time off for his wedding. And that had never come up in the conversation about, like, understanding him or what his motivations were for him to look. And he was like, can we put this off by 2 months so that I can take my my vacation for my wedding? And I was like, dude, if that's the only thing that's holding us up here, why don't you start work here in 2 weeks, and I'll make sure that you have 2 to 3 weeks off for your vacation. I'll make sure the hiring manager has it to you in writing. And he was like, are you sure you can do that? Yeah, that was the guy's motivation, right?
You know what? No. You had that guy wanted to move. You just had to negotiate a better deal for him or that suited his specific needs. That wasn't someone who said, no, I don't want that job. This is a guy who actually said, I want that job. That's not a good example. I got to go to another ad before the show's over. Hey, everybody, a word from our sponsor, PC Recruiter. Everyone claims, and you know it's true, they say text and social media are the hot new forms of communication, but we all know for real, email is king, right? Or queen. And PC Recruiter handles email the way you want it handled. It works with your mobile phone accounts and always shows you're connected, you're sent, and received email for every candidate in hiring authority. And you know what? They're known. They've got clients all over the world, and they're known all over the world. So please check them out at PCRecruiter.com. They love you. Back to my guest for today, the Brian Fink. Okay, Brian, let me ask you this. If you've got how do you turn someone off who doesn't get the job? What do you say to them?
I tell everybody, hey, let's keep the door open for another conversation. Right now, this doesn't make sense. Your skill set doesn't align with what it is we're looking for. However, I'd
love
to touch base.
But, Brian, I think it is a match. Why don't they want me? I think it's a good match.
You know what? That's a great question. And I would tell you that it's nothing personal. When looking at your professional skill set, we really would value having somebody on our team like you. Unfortunately, this time, we don't have the bandwidth to mentor somebody to get them to where we need to be. Instead,
but what am
you know,
I missing? What specifically? What's wrong? I don't see any light between me and that job. I'm your guy.
Can I ask a question though? Do you say that if the guy or gal just sucks, like you don't want him working there? So would you go through saying, well, we don't have the bandwidth to really connect with you at the level of experience you're at and bring you on to the? I mean, do you go through all that crap if the guy sucks? Or do
yeah,
you just say, look, man, it's just not going to work? Or do you just make up all that stuff?
So if I'm on the phone with a candidate and I'm like, I know there's no way that they're going to move forward, I tell them straight up, I'm like, look, I don't want to waste your time.
That's cool.
There's about a 40% chance the hiring manager is going to take this seriously. You put out there that you know X, Y, and Z, and look, man, I don't have any documentation that proves it. I know you're telling me you're using it. Look, this is going to be a really hard sell. The hiring manager, why don't we touch base on another opportunity when this makes sense? Does that make sense? Yeah, sure. Or no, it doesn't. And then I go down the animal path. And they're talking. I'm like, look, it really doesn't make sense. I don't want to waste your time.
Down the
time
animal
is the
path.
Only time is the only asset that we don't have
Scream
more of and
hang
we can't
up.
Make more of. You know, so
okay.
So hey, man.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I like
so
it.
You didn't,
I like that approach.
Yeah, you did, yeah. But no, we didn't address the issue where the person really thinks that he or she is a good match.
You
want to
know why, Animal? Because it rarely happens, dude. Stop it with the fake-ass examples of one-in-a-million deals as some sticking point in your interviews with these highly talented people. Knock it
Michael
off.
Michael G. Cox. Michael G. Cox, do you have anything you'd like to say? You haven't said much. Michael G.
No,
Cox,
I was just thinking
there?
About all these. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you want to say something?
I was just thinking about these things that we call closing techniques. The fact is that when you define them as just basic closing techniques, it's undermining the value of what is actually being done. It's just a simple reframing of a conversation or a point they, in this case, a candidate has made to make them think about it differently in regards to the commute. So you're going to pass up on this opportunity and this plugging you into this stage of a career path because of a 30-minute commute. Oh, so you're just making them think differently or see from a different angle. Just to call it pass it off as a basic closing technique isn't giving it justice.
Hmm. Okay. Maureen,
well,
Sheriff, is there anything
Wait, Michael.
No, that's my brain fart, by the way. Sorry.
Now, dude, let me jump onto that. I think Michael's pretty accurate and spot on with that. I think reducing a candidate to a chip on the chessboard by like teaching some kind of Robert Half closing technique, I don't think that works. I don't think that makes sense. I think that then you remove the personalization of what's taking place in the recruiting process. Like,
you just told
I
us
really
it works, okay? You just told us it works. You did it, okay? Maureen Sheriff,
hey,
is there something you'd like to say? Maureen Sheriff, she sold
no,
a lot.
No. I've said my piece.
And
actually,
Michael
estate.
Townsend, I think you were
Wait
talking about the porcupine or the parrot close versus the takeaway. I'm just throwing that out.
Okay.
There.
Okay,
know
whatever.
Know your closes. That's all I'm saying, people.
Yeah, okay. Maureen Sherub sold real estate for 20 years or something like that before she was in this business. Did you use any closes, Maureen? Did you use any standard closes?
No. Are you talking about the takeaways and all this?
Yeah.
No, I didn't think of it like that. I just listened.
I want to know how often agencies call Brian and just the general, how much of his day or week is spent telling agencies no, bug off, scram, and do they all sound the same, more or less?
Oh, man.
Can I ask that, Animal? Is that okay?
Go ahead. Yeah.
Because I don't need to hear his closing technique or if
no,
he uses
dude,
Twitter
dude,
to
I could
recruit.
Take. I could take a million screenshots and take a half a penny for each of them and retire happily, right?
See, that's the fun stuff.
Yeah. I mean, that's,
listen, Jerry, you could have asked him that a half an hour ago. I wouldn't have objected. You didn't mention it. You didn't say that's what you really wanted to talk
it's
about.
It's a one-hour show. I'm squeezing it in. Now I have to – oh, God, this just pisses me off.
Got 13 minutes left.
No, I'll ask a question
minutes?
Anytime
what
I want
to. Do we need to pitch PC Recruiter one more time?
Well, yeah, I do
PC
have
Recruiter
to do one more time, but I just did it.
I want to know how many recruiters call you every week, Brian.
Go ahead, answer his question, guest.
Tell us about our competition.
Seriously, I probably get about 8 to 10 phone calls a day.
God.
What do they sound like?
I have they sound like not making one me to answer my phone. Is that my favorite one is I had somebody who called me up and said, we recruit for Home Depot and we recruit for Home Depot and Lowe's. We'd be a great fit for you. Really? Well, let's go build a house together because that's not what we fucking do here.
F-bomb twice in one show. This is a record, but I like it.
You know what? It probably isn't because William Tincup has been on this show, and Lori Rudiman has too, okay?
Yeah.
But you know
so,
what? But
so
Brian,
agencies are calling
Brian,
you all day long.
Yeah.
Is that the scoop, Brian? Animal, don't you care about this stuff? You would rather talk to somebody in his position about just whatever questions
any,
you even
anytime,
ask.
God. Jerry, anytime that we issue a press release, like there was a press release
yeah.
that went out, the other day that talked about three hires that we made.
Yeah.
And they're pretty big hires. The minute that went out, like literally, like I got a notification from communications that went out, then boom, the inbox and the phone just didn't stop.
Wow.
Like you know.
Did anybody make a presentation that you liked? Do recruiters ever make a presentation and you say, I like it? Tell us what that is.
That's fair.
So generally speaking, I work off referrals. Like if somebody says to me, hey, Melissa at Elevate is a great recruiter, you guys should have a conversation with him. And I say to Andy Pittman at MailChimp, and I'm like, dude, well, what is it that made him so great? And he says X, Y, and Z. So if Melissa calls me, I'm going to take that phone call.
Okay,
I'm going to have a conversation
calls,
with
you
him.
Don't, you don't like any cold calls or cold presentations from recruiters.
No,
I
like referrals from friends. Yes, I'm using my friends to screen people for success.
Very cool. Hey, Animal, just real quick then. Animal, would you tell Brian that I'm an IT recruiter and probably one of the best in the Midwest?
Does he recruit people like Jerry? He can either tell from listening to you for an hour or
I'm
not.
I'm just saying,
okay?
Give me a referral here, Animal. That's what this guy likes.
You know,
I can't
Jerry's
just call people
guy.
Like this.
Jerry's a great
life
guy,
is such
Brian.
A struggle.
Yeah, you,
hey,
you want to know him. And
Jerry,
not only
you
that,
can, yeah.
Brian, Jerry will teach
Jerry,
you how to do your job.
Is beat is. I would love that because I'm open to learning. I'd appreciate that. Thank you, Daddy.
Jerry, you should call Jerry.
Yeah, Jerry, let's send me a DM on Facebook
or on
Twitter.
You know what? Do
this
after the show.
Would you knock it off, Animal?
Show.
I'm actually getting somewhere. God.
Hey, Jerry, do you use
butt
PC
out,
Recruiter?
Animal.
Butt out, Animal. What, Brian?
Jerry, do you use PC Recruiter? Can you tell me about how to recruit with that?
A friend of mine who's very good at PC Recruiter happens to be on the call with us now. Animal, can you tell us a little bit about PC Recruiter?
You know what I'm going to tell you? Pete Radloff, who's an experienced person, says all agency pitches
Brian, I'll call
are all the same.
Thanks,
they're
Dad.
All the same. They're all the same. Derek Zeller's got his usual. Thank you, Derek. So, Brian Fink, just be silent. The next question seems safer that way. Don't understand that. There's actually people listening. That's a fact. See, there's people listening to you. Okay. Anyway, let's move on. I've got more questions. Reference checks. Do you use them? Some people do. Some people don't.
All the time.
So how long do you take? You do them on the phone, right?
Yeah, probably about 10 minutes.
That's
and
all.
I also
10 minutes.
It's a few simple questions, and the only way it's going to get any larger is to say, hey, you know, I don't know if you're in the market, but would you be open to considering alternative opportunities? Totally.
You do that? You try to recruit the person on every call? Every
yep.
reference check? Really?
Yeah,
okay,
I mean,
well, what are your
– we're on the phone right now, and I'm trying to recruit people.
Yeah, okay, hold on a
and
second.
And I'm trying to
you
do
said,
business. What
yeah,
are you
exactly.
doing, Animal?
Exactly.
That's the real question.
You know what?
Hang
I'm
out.
Trying to
we'll
get
take it from here. We're doing business
Jerry,
here.
Jerry, if we're picking up the phone, it better be to fill a rack. Am I wrong?
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm wrong. Thanks. No,
references
I'm not.
Are the
you
best.
Know, now, look, hold on a second. These reference checks, you said you've got some standard questions. Can you tell us what they are?
No, I don't want to go into them.
Why not?
I respect that answer.
You know what? I don't like it when these guys come on the show and say to answer questions. They say, I'm not answering any questions. Okay.
I think I've answered all your questions.
Yeah.
I think I put out some issues about our cultural questions. However, I don't think I have
okay.
you know, written consent
what,
to like put
Chrome,
it out there,
what,
dude.
What Chrome extensions do you use the most?
I'm probably going back and forth between Evernote, Grammarly, so I don't make those mistakes that you pointed out on my LinkedIn profile. And I'm probably using AV and Clearbit.
Clearbit. Oh, that's new, the new one, right? That replaced Reportive,
yeah.
sort of.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you like it? You like Clearbit?
Like Clearbit a lot. I think it's I think it's fantastic. I like the fact that it pulls in the information specifically from Angel and also for Crunchbase.
Okay. But you know, you described what kind of LinkedIn account do you have?
So I have LinkedIn? We have LinkedIn Recruiter? Yeah, I've got LinkedIn Recruiter.
Okay. And you described a number of positions like programmers, CFO. You're like a generalist recruiter. Is that right or wrong? Do I have the right impression or the wrong impression?
I think I've recruited along plenty of disciplines that I could be called a generalist, yeah.
Okay, so then you're telling me also that if somebody calls you and their experiences with Home Depot, you say that's no good for me. So, but you yourself are a generalist. Am I right or wrong? One day you're recruiting a techie, the next a financial guy.
You're absolutely right.
Okay, so if you get a job, how can you do a good job on such a diverse number of positions? How do you figure out if you're doing something you haven't done before, how do you present yourself as a knowledgeable person that someone would want to talk to?
You know, I'm sitting down with my hiring manager and I'm asking them, hey, what is it that you expect this person to do and what do you expect this person to become if they come here? Anytime I hear a word that I don't know, I'm making sure that I ask them what's that word? What's that acronym? Help me out. Why is that important? Why is that relevant? Right? Like I feel that
you're breaking one of Animal's main rules. Animal would think that makes him sound stupid. So Animal doesn't ask questions about stuff like that. I'm just throwing that out there.
You're so wrong. That's you, Jerry. You
that's
don't like
you.
Asking managers
questions. I ask questions all the
you
time.
You don't like asking managers questions. That's what a lot of these
what the hell
are
you saying, man?
Oh, absolutely. And Maureen,
you are wrong, dude. I'm the one.
The sourcers, the people who are responsible for research, they're the ones who always press. But my point is different. My point is different. Brian is saying, look, if you give me a position today that I've never recruited for ever, I can still do a good job on it, as good as anybody. Is that what you're saying, Brian?
Yeah, about 97% of the time I can do that.
Okay, so if you were, this is maybe the last question, but if you're an executive recruiter and you call up somebody and they'll talk to you, like a hiring manager of some sort, and he or she says, how many positions have you filled in my industry in the past, or this kind of position, and you say, you know, I've done a few, and they say, look, if I go to a company that this is their niche, they'll do. They've recruited tons of these. How would you? What would you say in
and while he
that,
thinks about his
that?
Answer to that great question, can I say something?
Go ahead.
Nobody ever asked that. Maybe one
asked.
Out of 50 times.
I've been asked. God. I want to know what this guy would say.
Because you sound like a
numbnut,
probably.
Yeah. What would you say, Brian?
So to that, you know, like a lot of the reasons that I don't take those recruiter calls that I'm taking Jerry's is because people can't tell me why they're different and better.
Ooh.
Right. So my
would I need to do that?
No, Jerry. I think you already have. I think you're
out.
Right. I think you've exhibited. No, you're good, man. We're gonna talk. All right. So here's the piece of it is that everybody wants to talk about how they're different, but nobody wants to talk about how they're different and better. So how would I approach a hiring manager about that? Look, I am an internal recruiter. I have to focus on being a generalist. Prior to this, I was a tech recruiter for two years. I think if you've got the fundamentals, you can sit down and you can figure it out. If you want to go deep in a niche, well, then I'm really worried about what's going to happen when the banks dump cobalt. You know, it's I think that it's best to have that kind of versatile skill set. Before I was focused on tech recruiting. Heck, man, I was doing salespeople, enterprise salespeople. Before that, I was doing ad tech and technologists that supported that and data science. Before that, again, was doing sales. So I think that a cat should not be necessarily judged by the fact that it has a lot of stripes, but the fact that it is a cat.
Okay, you know what? Very interesting. That was an interesting answer to me. I like an answer like that. Now, other people say that's a stupid question. That was good information. Thank you, Brian. I got to do one more ad just for take a second.
Wait. How are you going to use that information? How are you going to use that information if it's good information? How are you going to
you
use
what?
It? How are you going
it
to apply
gives
it
me
to
the,
make your life
just
better?
Just gives me the confidence. Like, here's one thing. I don't sound like a Valley girl like you do, okay? But it gives me the confidence. It gives me the confidence when I go out and talk to somebody and they say that to me, I'll say, are you crazy? I talk to experienced recruiters every week and they tell me this, and I'll say, Brian Fink, look him up, call him up if you don't believe me. If Brian Fink can do it, I can do it, and I won't back down because I know Brian Fink wouldn't back down. That's how I'll use that. And now let me tell you about PC Recruiter. This will only take me a few seconds. PC Recruiter handles email marketing, so you can build lists and send out hundreds or thousands of email and then manage the resulting activity like opt-in or opt-out requests. You can do it with ease, okay? That includes Canadian opt-in rules, and let me tell you, we're pretty special when it comes to those. Okay, if you use Microsoft Outlook, PC Recruiter appears directly in your Outlook screen. No more switching. between applications 100 times a day. No ATS or recruiting software has more or better choices for email, text messaging, and social media than PC Recruiter. I want you to check it out at PCRecruiter.com.
Thanks,
PCRecruiter.
Brian, I just sent you a friend request.
Oh, man, we're going to be friends? That's so hard.
Well, we don't have to be because I get political sometimes, and I probably shouldn't, but at least I can send you a message and stuff like that.
Okay.
Dude, you can get political. I mean, like talking to animals, like talking to Trump, except without the misogyny.
Yeah, Jerry's a Trump voter.
Well,
Jerry's
good.
A Trump voter, okay?
Dang.
Jerry's a Trump voter, okay? And if I
listen
was an American,
me.
I probably
Clearly,
wouldn't be.
I'm a libertarian.
Right. Okay. Are you really voting for that guy, Wallace or whatever his name is? Can't remember. Okay. So
Johnson
look, Brian,
and Long.
I cannot. I got to go throw some ribs on the grill that need to be done
yeah.
at 7 o'clock.
Okay, Brian,
I'm going to do the 3-2-1 method. So I got to start them right now.
Okay. We're finished now. Brian, is there any parting words? Any parting words?
Thanks for having me. You've had some great questions. I hope everybody today can use the insights and advice that were provided by Jerry and Maureen. I'm sorry that. Sorry that Animal kind of got in the way of us having a great conversation about recruiting.
Yeah.
But I hope that this
you know
conversation
what? I gotta
enriched the discipline as a whole.
It was a good
I like
show.
Having you. There's lots of good
show.
Questions. You can come back another time. Maureen, any parting words? Maureen Sharon?
Wonderful show.
From Cincinnati? Wonderful show. Michael G. Cox, any parting words?
Bye.
Later.
Bye.